First, if any of you have gone to the casinos and won a ton of money, be sure to put your tithe in there tonight. And as far as Friday night goes, I guess from 9 to midnight, I'm going to have, what do you say, just snacks and fellowship, communion.
Praise and worship, games and testimonies, and
okay.
Communion at midnight.
Okay. So that'll be here at Friday night. So if you don't have... or if you don't have plans, then we'd like to all see you here and right after church, which will probably be, let's see, it's 12 till, so it'll probably be about 2 till. we'll go downstairs and set up some tables to get a little head start on being ready for Friday. All right. Tonight, what I'm going to talk about, I was having a hard time coming up with a topic for tonight. I had something in my mind, and it just wasn't coming through. And what I felt was most of it was going to be starting in Revelations 2. And we're going to be talking about the seven churches tonight and the things that God or Christ had, you know, that he found pleasing about some of them and then the problems that some of them had. And what I just wanted to start off with is man usually gravitates to a church or group he feels comfortable with. Now, we're going to be talking about seven different churches described in Revelations. And once we go over them, kind of see which one you fit into and also which one we fit into. Because, well, we'll go over all this and then I'll wrap it up and tell you my feelings on it. So... the title of this is, What Church Do You Represent? Starting in Revelations, I'll put my glasses on so I can even see my Bible. Starting in Revelations 2, we just start with the Church of Ephesus. And it starts off, the Lord knew their works, their labor, and their patience. And the thing in praise that he had for them is they could not bear those which were evil. And they didn't tolerate them. And it's like, how many times do you or myself associate with people that are not saved, have various vices or sinful tendencies, such as gambling, drinking, skirt chasing, blasphemers? I've got a couple guys that I work with. I enjoy them as partners, and we get along good. We take breaks together. But I wouldn't go out of my way to associate with them afterwards. You know, you can say cops are a different breed, and we are to an extent, but everyone has their own little cliques that they get into, and some of their tendencies and some of the way they conduct themselves, I don't really want to be anything like them when it comes down to that. Also, the Church of Ephesus was found to have tried those claiming to be apostles and found that they were not. They found them out to be liars. And in that case, you need to be careful. In your church and in whoever you listen to, you need to be careful who you listen to, reference God's word, and use the Holy Spirit that's in you and the word itself to discern what these people have to say. Just because they're on the Christian network or they're a special speaker in the church does not mean they're dead on. You have to weigh what they say about what's in your heart and also what's in the Word and decide for yourself. Don't just blindly follow people. And he also noted that they had patience and labored in God's name. The one thing he had against them was he warned them to repent because they had left their first love. He warned them to repent and to do the first works or else their candlestick would be removed. He did praise them, though, for hating the deeds of, I believe you say it, the Nicolaitans. And I've heard that reference before, and Dakes had a brief description of the Nicolaitans, and he said, followers of Nicholas, who was a heretic, they were supposed to have been a sect of Gnostics who practiced and taught impure and immoral doctrines, such as the immoral doctrines, such as the community of wives, that committing adultery and fornication was not sinful, and that eating meats offered to idols was lawful. And this was similar to the doctrines of Balaam and Jezebel of Thyatira. But he did find that they hated that. So he only had the problem is they need to go back to their first works. The next one was the church of, I believe it's Smyrna. Jesus knew their works and their tribulation and their poverty, but he also commented that they were rich. He knew the blasphemy of a group claiming to be Jews, and it was a sect that professed Judaism but blasphemed God and served Satan. However, he told them not to fear those things which they would suffer, with some of them being cast into prison and some of them being tried for their beliefs. But he told them to be faithful unto death, and he would give them a crown of life. And if you go to Revelations 2:11, I can find that. Let's see, it said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." And that was what he's referring to on the crown of life. So even though they thought they were a poor church, he said they did have riches. And it sounded like those riches were the ones laid up in heaven for them and their beliefs. Then the third church, you go to the church in Pergamos. And I may be butchering some of these names, but I'm doing the best I can on how they look. Christ knew that their works. He knew their works. He knew that they held fast to Jesus' name. They did not deny the faith. Even when, I believe it was Antipas, which was Christ's faithful martyr, was slain. And he was put to death, and they were describing it in kind of a gruesome way, put to death by being enclosed in a burning brazen bull. Now, I didn't have a dictionary handy, but I think that would a brazen bull would have just been more or less a giant container, and he was just more or less baked alive. But Christ held these things against them, that they allowed those in their church that held the doctrine of Balaam. They taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel and eat things sacrificed to idols and commit fornication. They also had those in the church that held the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Christ warned them to repent, or he would come unto them quickly. And then go to chapter 2, 17, verse 17. And I'll just read it, and then I'll read a footnote that Dakes has to it as well. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." And on the footnote describing that, on the white stone, it said, "These were known to the ancients as victory stones. Also in ancient times, they meant pardon and the evidence of it. Judges had white and black stones. If a black stone was given to a criminal, he was condemned. If a white stone, he was pardoned. Conquerors in the public games were also given white stones with their names written on them, which entitled them to be supported the rest of their lives at public expense. Perhaps all three things are meant by the white stone to the overcomers." Okay, then we go to the next church, which is the church of Thyatira. And in this one, Christ acknowledged their works, their charity, their service, faith, and patience. He was not happy with them, though, that they had allowed a woman named Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce God's servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. This woman was given a chance to repent of her fornication, but she refused. And if you go to Revelations 2, verse 26 through 28, in here it says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star." Okay, it's more or less saying deal with what's in your church. If you do have a problem in your church, You can't just look the other way. You can't let it slide. It needs to be dealt with. If you've got somebody teaching a seducing or doctrine or an undermining doctrine that's not scriptural, that person needs to be dealt with, either as a church or hopefully the pastor picks up on it. And if need be, take witnesses with him and deal with it as Paul set out in the Bible to deal with the problem. Do not let it sit there and fester, because these people will eventually take people down with them. Okay, the next church is the church of Sardis. And in this one, Christ says he knows their works, that they have a name or reputation of being a live church, but they're dead. Their works are not perfect, and they have only a few godly members. Sardis was commanded by Christ to be watchful, to strengthen the things that remained in that church, to remember their teaching, to hold fast, and to repent. And if you go to Revelation 3, verses 4 through 5, it says that thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. This is the few that he was saying, only a few godly members. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And this is something I definitely wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of, having my name blotted out. Amen. But this does indicate, it's not this once saved, always saved. This indicates right here that it is possible for you to lose your standing and for you to be cast out and not be in the book of life. And that's one book I don't want my name excluded from.
Amen.
Okay, now we'll go to the church number 6. That'll be the Church of Philadelphia. Christ acknowledged this church's works. It commented about their little strength, which was just how he described it. I can't find it right now. But he commented on their works, their little strength, that they kept God's word, and they did not deny Christ's name. And he promised this church that in the church he would expose all liars. He would humble the liars and those of the synagogue of Satan. He would confirm Christ's love of this church to those he humbled before them. And he would keep the church from persecution. He will come quickly. He will make them a pillar in the temple of God. Now that's saying a lot for your church right there. If he's going to make you a temple or a pillar in the temple of God, that's going to be a great honor for that church. We'll never go out, but we'll always have a safe dwelling place. We'll be given God's name. We'll be given the name of the New Jerusalem. And he will give them Christ's new name. Now we move on to the bad boy church, the Church of Laodicea. Christ knows their works, that they're not hot or cold. They're referred to as lukewarm and nauseating, proud and self-satisfied, and ignorant of their true state. They're listed as completely dead, nor full of zeal, but indifferent and careless. And it said Christ will spew, or I wrote down, puke them out. when he's saying he's going to spew them out, you've got to be, just think of what gets your stomach churning and what you would throw up. And that's how distasteful this church is to Christ. He's not pleased with them at all. They're more or less revolting to him. But he did tell him to buy of me gold tried in the fire, buy of me white raiment, to anoint their eyes with eye salve, to be zealous to save their souls, and to repent. Now, in all these churches, things that you want to remember, Christ knows your works. He expects us to hold fast to the name of Jesus. He expects us to be vigilant in God's word. Do not tolerate false teachers or liars, but remove them before they can contaminate the church. And to remember that a little leaven contaminates the whole loaf. And that is phrased again in 1 Corinthians 5, and that's chapter 5, 5 through 8. And I'll just go ahead and read that. Five through eight. Okay. To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorifying is not good, knowing ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And in that regard, he was treating the yeast as a contaminant of the entire loaf, and we want to keep that loaf pure for the Lord. So to remember to be an effective church, you've got to work together. You've got to put aside your petty differences. And people will always do things that grate on you if you let them. Pick your battles and make sure that the fight that you want to engage in with a person is worth it. Stick to things scriptural. I mean, if it's just things that people, you know, it's just like you've always got family members, you know, at get-togethers you don't like. And they're always going to just annoy you. But they're still family. And this church is still a family. And the only time I would say confront somebody and try to get things straightened out is if something is scripturally wrong. It was just a personality clash. Deal with it. You know, deal with it as best you can. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. You can avoid the person, you can confront the person, you know, where you can just say, hey, you know, what you said or how you conduct yourself hurts me. And, you know, if it bothers you that much, but just make sure that you're not going to make a major deal out of it. You know, this shouldn't be a bunch of petty little people just bickering, because we have one goal in mind, and that's to spread the gospel. And that's to show people that we're a loving church. And that despite all our differences, you know, we've got executives, we've got laborers, you know, we have a multitude of different people represented here. And, you know, that's just how all of God's people are. And you have to work together. It's just like the body of Christ. You know, you're going to have, you know, the people that are at the head, and you're going to have the person that's, you know, the nail on the little toe, but they're all part of the work, or part of the body. Because if you don't, Satan is going to win by distracting you from the task at hand. He's going to cause little divisions, and he's going to ruin the effectiveness of everyone in here, because then all we become is like a fire brigade. We're doing nothing but trying to stomp out little fires. And, you know, we don't need that. And while this lesson, I centered it on the seven churches described in Revelations, a lot of people feel that this also pertains to the various conditions of the believers. But even if you felt like you're the church of Laodicea, Christ did not and has not considered any believer's condition to be hopeless, nor any church for that matter. He always told them what they need to do to repent and to come right with God. And any person is capable of doing that. So it's not hopeless. Don't go, oh my gosh, I'm like this, he's going to puke me out and I'm just going to be dog vomit on the sidewalk. No, that's not what he's saying. He's telling you, you know, if you don't want me to consider you that way, here's what you need to do to improve. Now, I do have, and this is Dake's, and it's an old Bible, so I'm just going to read it to you. It was Dake's listed as 18 blessings to the overcomer. And it was at the very end of Revelations. He talks about the tree of life, the crown of life, to escape the second death or the lake of fire, the hidden manna, a white stone and a new name, which we went into, part in the rapture, power over the nations, complete defeat of rebels, the morning star, to walk with Christ in white, your name eternally in the book of life, confession of name before God, a pillar in God's temple, eternal abiding with God, God's name unto him, name of the new Jerusalem upon him, and the new name of Christ upon him, and the eternal throne and kingdom. These are just the blessings that are waiting for you. And Revelations, everything in here is for a purpose. And in nowhere does God say, hey, I'm done with you, it's over. He's always giving you an option. So you just got to be sure that you're praying, and you've got to be willing to take what he says. And if it's a slap upside the head, take it. You know, there's a lot of times, I mean, you have it out with your kids, you have it out with your parents, or you have it out with your wife. Know how that goes. And a lot of times you don't like it when they say it, but the more you think about it, you go, hey, you know, maybe my spouse is right. Maybe I'm kind of missing the boat on this one. And Marcia and I bounce a lot of things off each other, and it's, you know, she'll calm me down on how I feel, huh? Well, now we got rid of the bad ones, so you know, yeah, go to other hard things. But so you let them be, you know, they're your guide, and they kind of rein you in, and it's just like this Bible, any Bible that you pick up, it's God's word, it's the Holy Word, and He's always got a good message for you. So pretty much you just need to pick which church you want to be seen as. And, you know, there's a few of them in there, not saying that you got to be poor like one of them I described. I can't remember which one it was. Okay. But you don't have to be poor, but they had it all. I mean, they gave all, and they were going to be, you know, rewarded with eternal life and the crown of life. And, you know, ultimately that's what we want to go for. So that's pretty much all I had tonight. We'll just wrap up with prayer, and then if Dan has anything, we'll go after that. So I'll bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time to even be able to come together in a free country and to be able to receive your word. We know that your word is offered to all that will receive and all that want to learn and listen. And we just pray, Lord, you'll take this word, however it was given, and you'll put it into the people's heart that we may make the right decisions and receive your crown of life and reign with you in heaven. We just thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.